It's my belief that that day is not that far in the future. In fact, it could be before midnight tonight. Could be before the sun rises in the morning. You know, you got all these people trying to tell you when the Lord's coming, and they've all been wrong. I can tell you when he's coming. And I'm not wrong. In the hour that you think not. And if America has ever been in a position of thinking the Lord delayeth his coming, it's today. But I want you to know the prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2, he says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all of the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is at hand. I may be regarded, and probably am by many, as being a lunatic, crazy. They said the same things about John the Baptist. They said the same things about Jesus. And I don't care if you put me in that category. But I'm here to tell you tonight, as John the Baptist said it, and as Jesus said it, repent, for the day of the Lord is at hand. I'm sick and tired of pulpits being filled with politically correct messages. I'm sick and tired of preachers that are afraid to call sin, sin. I'm tired of people just sweeping over the wrongs that the church has done. It's time that the church step up, confess to the Lord their shortcomings. The church is the people, by the way. It's not the building. The day this building talks to me, I may be out of here. But I want you to know the church is the people. And it's time we stop playing games with ourselves. Nobody knows you better than you. You may have everyone else fooled and deceived, but I promise you, you and the Lord know the truth. I want you to know that if you're not ready, should he split those clouds and come back, as the song that Skeeter was singing. By the way, this is the third week in a row you've preached the message through your songs. But I want you to know, if you're not one of those, let me ask you a question. Take out your paper, a pen, and grade your own paper here. The word says that he's coming for a people that's watching and waiting and longing for his return. Hello? Are you watching and waiting and longing for his return? Or are you just meandering through life with que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be? Listen, he wants his children to have an expectation and an anticipation that it could be today. I've got to live like the Lord's coming today and work like I have 1,000 years. It's time that we, in a spiritual sense, slap each other around a little bit and make our calling and elections sure. It's time that we sense the urgency of the hour. It's time that we care enough to do something about our lost family members and friends that are, unlike Monopoly, they're headed to hell. They ain't going to pass go or collect $200. They're going to split hell wide open. And did you know hell is for a long, long time? Forever. No do-overs. You know, young people have a saying today, my bad. That ain't going to help. That's not going to help. Now, I'm not here to fuss at you tonight. I'm here to say, wake up. Sound an alarm. Sound an alarm in Zion. Now, y'all know I'm a retired Shreveport firefighter. And I promise you, when that bell toned out, we were ready. In fact, we were ready before the bell hit. Our stuff was on that truck. Those bunker boots were sitting on the floor beside the truck. And once that thing gave the dispatch, got a house on fire, 7063 Aniana, house on fire, 7063 Aniana, believed to be people in the house. Boom, we were gone. In those boots, suspenders hooked on the truck, out the door within 15 to 20 seconds. I got news for you. When the Lord himself descends from heaven and with a shout and with the voice of an archangel, the dead in Christ, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that fast, it's over. No do-overs, no my bad, no second chance. History, as a tree falls, so shall it lay. Live in sin, die in sin, hell is your eternity. Hell is more than a word that you use as a slang. It's more than a word that you use in a joke. Hell is a place of reality. Bible says there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know, it's the flip side. It's the opposite of heaven. And what the word says about heaven, it says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of a man those things the Lord hath prepared for them that love him. Now, as good as you can imagine heaven to be, it can't begin to touch the grandeur and the reality of what God has prepared for those that love him. The flip side of that is, as bad as you can imagine hell to be, I don't believe we have the ability to imagine the depths of pain and anguish and suffering, nor to grasp the length and the duration of eternity. I want to sound an alarm. Wake up, church. You've got children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, friends, neighbors, co-workers, boyfriends, girlfriends, people that are lost, that you very possibly could be the only Jesus with skin on it they ever see. And it's time that we stop being so self-consumed and self-absorbed and so concerned about me and mine, what I want and what I like. In fact, let me turn over here to 2 Timothy. See, now we all know about the end time. It describes wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and drought and pestilence and famine and all those things. We know what it talks about that, but I want to look at it in Timothy and see if this fits where we live in America today. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. You still got your pen and paper out that you're grading yourself? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that do good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. My friends, that describes America. We are an unthankful nation. We are an unthankful people. We're unruly. Crime is at an all-time high. No respect for authority. Truth has fallen in the street. We're seeing everything that can be shaken, be shaken. In fact, the Word of God says this. I might as well just get on my soapbox for a minute. says this, that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Now, I'm of the opinion. I am of the opinion that judgment began in the house of the Lord along about the time of the PTL scandal and so forth and so on. Because for those who refused to repent, the Bible says you can be sure your sins will find you out. And God began to purge his church. He began to purge his people because he's coming back for a church that's without spot or without wrinkle. I got news for you. Wolves in lamb clothing, they ain't going up. There'll be those that'll stand before the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works? And he'll say, yep. But depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Make no bones about it. There are people in the ministry that don't belong there. Amen. Plain and simple. I've heard me say this before. I've heard so many cowboys, not just cowboys, people in general, say this. I ain't going up there to church. Ain't nothing up there but a bunch of hypocrites. I said, no, you're wrong. There's a bunch of hypocrites up there, all right, but there's a bunch of real people that's committed and sold out to God. But let me tell you, say this. How do you know they're hypocrites? Well, I see them down there at the beer joint every Saturday night. Well, if they're a hypocrite up there at the church, they're a hypocrite down at the beer joint, so why don't you stop going down there? They're there too. If they're a hypocrite in one place, they're a hypocrite in the other place. You are not responsible nor accountable, nor will you answer for anybody but you. One day, each and every one of us will stand before the Lord and give an account for our lives. This is fact. This is what his word says. And every one of us will hear one of two statements that'll be the most eternal and the most impacting words that your ears will ever hear. One is, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to a place that I've prepared for you. Yeah. Then again, there'll be others. In fact, there'll be more that'll hear this because you see, he equated it as a narrow gate that few find and then a wide gate that many people enter in. There'll be others that will stand there that will hear him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Embrace the fact that heaven or hell is your choice. I don't care what you've been told by anybody else. The Word of God says this, whosoever will come. In fact, that sounds like I'm chasing rabbits here, but let me ask you this. Does the Lord always get his way? No, he does not. And I'll back it up scripturally. The Lord says, beloved, I would that none should perish. I don't want anybody to go to hell. And I've made a path and a way through the cross, my son Jesus Christ, that everyone can inherit eternal life. The gift, the greatest gift ever given, the gift of eternal life through the forgiveness of your sins. But it's a choice. He said, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Why does he specifically say choose life? Well, one, it's because it's the best route to take. Secondly, it's because without choosing life, death is automatic. You see, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were conceived in sin. We're born in sin. There's not a one of us in here that's lived a flawless, sinless life. Not a one. And if you say you have, there's your sin. You're a liar. And tonight I just want to challenge you, church. We are in the last days. And what Skeeter so wonderfully sang about will be a reality soon and very soon, when we're going to see. And all of the naysayers and all of the doubters and all of those that's mocked and ridiculed and scorned, when they get there and stand before him, don't forget this. He said that every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he's Lord. And it'll be not because he drives them to their knees or manhandles them to their knees, but it'll be because when they stand before him in his presence, truly, you're Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But it'll be too late. But they will know a certainty that he is who he says he is, that he can do what he said, and he will do what he said he will do. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? I'm going to close. I know there's a debate on TV, but the biggest debate's going on in some of your lives right now. Heaven, hell. Sell out to him or resist him. I'm simply asking you to grade your own paper, to judge your own self, so that when you stand before the righteous judge, the one that is able to righteously discern and drag out those books and look to see whose name is recorded in that Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name there? If it's not, it can be tonight. As you look at your life and you say, Dennis, I've messed it up so bad, I don't know if anybody can fix it. I want you to know that it won't be fixed. It'll be forgiven. And you'll become a new creature, and old things will pass away. And all things will become new, not overhauled, become new. And if that's you and you say, Dennis, I'd like to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sin and to come into my life, would you just raise your hand? Anyone across this place? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Quickly, slip it up. Real quick, slip it up. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, young man. Thank you, young man. Look up here at me real quickly. You see, this is not magic. We're saved one way. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what the Word of God says, that if we believe that Jesus is God's Son that came to this earth, walked and was tempted as every way as you and I have been tempted, but he never sinned. Stayed faithful to his mission, laid his life on a cross after being brutally beaten. Shed his blood for the remission of our sins so that we could be put back in right relationship with God to redeem us. But he didn't stay dead. Easter Sunday morning, he came walking out of that tomb, demonstrating his power over death, hell, and the grave, to show us visibly how he does have the ability to say, thy sins be forgiven. Go and sin no more. Now, the Word says that if we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, then we're saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer. My prayers can't save you. You must confess with your mouth. You must believe in your heart and receive the gift of life. Here's the really cool thing about it, and I love it. See, the Lord knows the thought and intent of our hearts. He knows if you're serious. And if you are, your sins are about to be cleansed here within about the next minute and a half. So with that knowledge, and if that's your choice, Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I do believe that you're God's Son that came to planet Earth, walked as a man, tried and tested in every way, yet without sin. I believe you did not stay dead, but that you walked out of a grave Easter morning, and that you're alive today, and that you're coming back to get your children. So I want to ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life, be my personal Savior and Lord. Help me, Lord, to learn your voice, to learn your ways, so that I can live pleasing to you. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and for another chance. Amen.